beer to your ear. It's time for What's on Tap. What's on Tap on KX93.5.
Yeah, it's that time. Could I do a more or less a roll call? I have to take roll. Is Jim Kennedy here?
Here, sir.
Don Damari, are you here?
I'm here.
I knew that. Howard Compton, does your microphone work?
I hope so.
No. We have to swing that one over to Howard. Hey.
Does this one work?
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Awesome.
Howard's
Thank you.
In the room. Ed Goodman's in the room from Drake's Brewing. Welcome back.
Here. It's good to be here again.
Here.
On Friday afternoon.
Right. It's been wonderful highlighting Drake's this month, and I've learned a lot about the facility and a lot about the mission of the brewing company. And today is a big day, and I'll tell you why. It's one of my favorite Imperial IPAs of all time. It's the Denogginizer. And that's what we're highlighting today. You've had some D-Nog in your time there, Howard?
Yes, I have. This one was developed in 2004.
I think I first got introduced to the D-Nogginizer a couple years ago at some divey rock and roll bar in San Diego called the Ruby Room, and it was just like a one-time thing. They just got like one keg. So, you know, if you blink, you miss it. But I really enjoyed the D-Nog. Couple years back, and now it's a staple in my fridge.
This is nice because you can serve that fine dining and then like dive bars like you go to.
Yeah, fine dining and dive bars. I know. There's a story behind the Denogginizer beer. How did they get their name? Do you know, Ed?
You know, I'm probably going to butcher up the story, so I'm going to pass it on to Howard.
Okay. I think someone was telling us the story off the air last time.
Yes. That was Chris. He was telling the story as the tank was getting too much pressure, so they had to go up and release the pressure valve. And when they did, the valve flew around and almost hit the guy in the head. And they called, "Oh, I almost lost my head." And the guy says, "No, you got deogonized." And that was after the Steinfeld series. So that's how they got the name. So they wanted to produce a beer that would turn your head anyway, and this one does.
It turns your head.
Yes.
It will denogginize you in the sense of it'll kind of creep up on you because it's 9-point-something% alcohol, right? What is it?
It's 9.75.
Yeah.
With 90 IBUs.
So it's up there in the bitterness.
But it's got a malty backbone to it, so it's not one of those ones that's going to linger in the back of your tongue very long. Finishes very well. It's got a really good cult following. You see this bottle in a lot of supermarkets even, because people are asking for it.
Uh-huh. Well, can we open them up?
Yes.
How come there are no six-packs? It only comes in 22 bottles, 22 ounces, right, and kegs?
It's available in 22-ounce bottles only.
Yeah.
And in six barrels and a half barrel. For restaurants.
For the D-Nog. Big D-Nog day, guys. I'm very excited to have this here in our studio. How are your beer ventures been this past week, Jim Kennedy?
I can't actually have any, or I haven't any special beer ventures. It's just interesting to see you this excited about a beer. I've not seen you this excited about a beer in a while, I don't think.
Well, it's a beer that I'm familiar with. And Howard calls me a hophead. And I guess that's what I am, so... Bringing the Denogginizer Imperial IPA.
This has
is amazing.
A danky hops, and it uses pungent hops. Hops are pungent anyway, because when you break that hop cone open, it's got the lupinum gland, and that's where the alpha acids are. And this has got a nice flavor to it. That's what I like about this beer.
So an Imperial beer of any sort, Howard, is that pretty much, does that mean it's just like a double?
It's the same thing, double.
Yeah, so
double IPA.
Double the ingredients, which most of the time means higher alcohol, but not necessarily.
It's always higher alcohol. It's not necessarily double the amount, but it's got more ingredients. You haven't got a beer yet, have you?
No, I got one right here, man.
Oh, okay. You're hiding it from us.
Yeah.
I don't want you going thirsty on us.
A half pint glass, and Ed brought the, or I don't know if it was Howard or Ed, the good Drake's Brewing pint glasses with the logo on it and everything.
Yes, I hand cleaned these, and they've been washed in the sodium-based soap.
Nice.
So they're stripped of all the oils. And this one has ducks on it, because that's what Drake's means.
Very cool. So, Howard, often you say that treat every beer as if it was your last.
Yes, because you want to judge a beer like it's your last beer.
Yeah.
L is look at your beer. You can tell a lot about the beer by just looking at it.
Yeah.
Next thing you want to do is agitate the beer, because when you agitate the beer in a circle, it releases that carbonation and creates a collar of foam, and that's where the aroma is. And you always want to release the carbonation, because you don't want to be drinking that carbonation. The next thing is smell. You want two big sniffs, like bunny sniffs, then one long sniff. Then you taste. The last one. And you... Yeah. When you taste it, when you swallow it, you're going to get entry, midway, and exit. When it exits your mouth, you're going to tell if it's a hoppy beer or if it's a malty beer, where it lingers on your tongue, because your tongue's divided up in four sections. The front of your tongue is sweet. The back of your tongue is bitter. Sides are salty, and across the middle is sour. So on a hoppy beer, it's going to linger on the back of your tongue, like this one will.
But this one will.
Yes.
Yes.
So try one and tell me what you think.
So it's 9.something-something, and it's...
7.5.
9.75, big on the IPUs, the Imperial Stout, the Imperial IPA is what it is, the Denogonizer from Drake's Brewing. Looking at this, Jim and Don Damari, what do we see? Because Howard said, look at it first.
It just looks amber color.
Yes. So you can always tell the color by looking at it.
It's like amber or topaz.
Whoa. Topaz, huh?
Topaz.
I have never heard a beer described as topaz in color.
Well, it does look like topaz to me a little bit, between that and amber.
That might catch on, Don.
Right?
Okay.
Yeah. And you could only get that topaz hue from really the malts that they're using, you guys? Is that the case?
Yes, the malts give it the color. The longer you roast your malt, we call it kilning, the darker it's going to be. So brewers get their grain build, and they wanted a certain grain build, certain colors, certain kind of malts. So that's what we use.
So
it
good.
Does. There's black IPAs too, so it doesn't have to be a certain color.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Oh, pardon me, you guys, as I take a sip of the D-Nog in the house. Again, I think I said on the air before when I was up there, there was a line around the corner to get, you know, people with growlers wanted to get it filled up, and it was mainly the D-Nogonizer. It's got to be one of your, you know, one of your more celebrated beers, right, Ed?
Yeah. The 1500, which is our pale ale, which we tried the other...
Which is so good.
Really a good beer. And
yeah.
This is like number two in our portfolio here in Southern California as far as sales.
Mm-hmm. Nice. Are you... I see that 22's coming over my way again.
Yes. You know, Ed poured you a beer, and he only filled the glass up half full. Mm-hmm. And knowing you, I like your glass to be full.
Kind of overdid it last night, you guys, though. We did a radio station benefit at the Marine Room Tavern, and I had a couple of beers, and left my debit card at the bar at the end of the night like a champ, you know? Rookie mistake, right? So I have to go and... what? I opened up a tab, and I never got my card at the end of the night.
Oh, I thought you left it as in you were the guy that wound up paying for everyone's drinks or something.
Oh, hell no. Okay.
He may be.
Maybe you did.
You get your statement back.
Right. It was one of those nights, so I'm going to ease into the Denogonizer today, if you guys don't mind.
We don't mind.
It's going to catch up to you, too, though, Mookie.
Hey, the Marine Room's your kind of bar.
It's a good spot. Yeah, they're doing really good. Have you been there as of late? You've made your rounds today, but the Marine Room is a place that you did not hit up, right, Howard?
Not today, but it's a great little bar.
What was your day like today? The day in the life of Howard Compton from Straub Distributing.
Well, we had a couple meetings this morning, then helping a couple guys get some samples out of the sample room. And then I had to get our stuff prepared, the glasses cleaned, and our samples pulled. Then I went out in the trade and hit some stops in Irvine, then went to Newport. I love Newport Beach and Laguna Beach because they're beach cities, and you always see something different down here.
Yeah.
It's a good place to see what's happening, what's new, what's coming up and coming, because the way people dress and act.
Plus, you get to fight the traffic.
Yes, Laguna Beach is not very traffic friendly.
No, it's not, especially coming into town on that 133. It's the worst sometimes.
I'd love to live here, but I don't know if I can with all the traffic.
There's so many people walking around, too, especially at Main Beach, you know, a lot of tourists, and everybody's walking around in swim trunks and bikini bottoms, you know?
Hope tops, too.
Right. I hope so, too.
I basically don't ever... I come down to 133, or I come down Laguna Canyon about as far as Forest, and then I cut over on Glen Eyre because I don't even take the chance coming down Coast Highway anymore.
Right.
From about May 1st to about, you know, October 1st.
Uh-huh.
But it's not even going to try it, except when I do Clashing Heads, because it's 8 o'clock in the morning, and nobody's on Close Highway even in the summer at 8 in the morning.
At 8 in the morning, yeah. I know. Have you ever taken advantage of the free trolley that they have up and down the street during
the
summer?
Well, no, but I might, because the silly city council raised parking rates again. It's going to cost you more per hour, and they're going to go until 9 o'clock now instead of 7 o'clock. So
oh.
they're going two more hours on the meters.
Right.
So that's ridiculous. I might start taking that trolley, though.
It's a revenue.
How often do they check the meters? Are they pretty consistent with that?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Trust me. They'll get you. Yeah.
Yeah. They'll get you.
That's not a good message.
Yeah. No. I've basically, the first 4 weeks I was doing the show over on Forest, I got 3 tickets in 4 weeks.
Wow. So, Mr. Kennedy, when you come to the show at 8 o'clock in the morning, nobody's on the road because they're home listening to you.
Well, that would be nice if they were, but they're just home from maybe overindulging on Saturday night, possibly. But it's not for me to judge as long as they're listening.
Well, I think they're listening because you're getting to them and you're knocking some sense into them.
I hope so, but we'll have to see.
That's part of the mission behind Clashing Heads, especially Jim Kennedy over there.
What about you, Don? Are you up at 8 o'clock?
Yeah. Yeah.
You have kids.
For other reasons, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Do you listen to the show?
Sometimes.
Yeah.
I do.
Are the kids in summer camp now?
Yeah, Boys and Girls Club.
Oh, that's cool.
Well, yeah, not right now. They're my babysitter, but yeah, they were there today. Played Capture the Flag and sounded like
that's fun. Yeah.
Yeah, and the big thing in there is the trading of the Pokemon cards. I thought that went out of style. Like,
I thought so too.
But now it's like super cool really little kids. Wild. Yeah. It's,
right.
Everything all of a sudden is Pokemon.
So your kids collect those ones?
They just started to, because my daughter got one from this boy, and she's only 7, but he gave her a Pokemon card, so she's like, that's what she wants now.
I collect bottle caps, like they're little
really?
Trophies.
That's cool.
You know?
Really?
You know?
What's your favorite one that you have?
Oh, I don't know. You
don't
know?
Have like any rare bottle caps?
No, I used to collect baseball cards, you know, when I was
Ooh.
Younger.
And, yeah, yeah.
Still have some. I don't know if there's any value in any of those
I'm sure
anymore.
There is. There probably would be.
There might be,
yeah.
right?
Mm-hmm.
What kind of bottle caps? I'm assuming beer bottle caps.
Yeah, mainly beer. Yeah, you know. This is the What's on Tap segment. We're doing it right now on KX93.5. Drake's Brewing Company is just doing some great things out of Northern California. We've been we've had the pleasure to get to know the people of the brewery all month long here. Kind of comes to a close because this is the end of the month, right, guys?
It is. I think this is our last...
Our last month. Hurrah.
For this go-round.
For this go-round, yeah. But I know, you know, we could always link up with Drake's in the future to do some cool radio station things and things with the brewery. That would be so good, Ed. So keep us in mind for future events, will you?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
A couple things. Next month, Aroma Coma is coming out. It's 6.75 on alcohol and 75 IBUs.
Mm-hmm.
So you'll be seeing that. That's like a limited release. We have a guy who has to release it before we can get it out in the trade. So that's something you'll be seeing. And the anniversary for Drake's is...
it's August 9th.
9th.
25 years.
25 years of
wow.
Drake's. Wow. Doesn't the time pass quickly?
Hey. Wow.
Yeah. Congratulations to everybody at Drake's. And thanks for the stickers and the signage and all the cool things you've brought. I don't know if you guys had Jim's got a sticker on his digital widget there.
It's digital widget.
Digital widget.
Careful. Nexus 10, actually, yes.
Oh, it's not an iPad?
No.
Oh.
It's an Android.
Some
oh,
sort of
okay.
tablet.
You don't want
to
go
it
with
it. It looks like an iPad to me. It looks, okay. I guess it's a little more oblong, but.
Yes.
Ask them which one came first.
Which one came first?
Well, the iPad yeah. came first.
Yeah.
But I don't march to the tune of Steve Jobs, so.
I like Apple. I always have, even in the 90s when nobody, they said they were going to go away.
Right.
So I've always liked Apple.
The big beer that we're drinking is pretty damn good, too.
Yeah, it's really
an
good.
Awesome beer.
It is an awesome beer, right?
And I have to say, the alcohol is well blended into it. I wouldn't, you know that it was 9.75% without being told 5 or 6 times.
Yeah, I think I said that earlier. It doesn't drink. Yeah. It doesn't drink that big, but it actually has a very clean finish. And really drinkable.
Yeah.
That's the slogan is, hold on to your head, because it does have a lot of alcohol, but you don't taste it.
No. So you said the denogonizer got its name because someone basically damn near lost their head in the brewing facility. How does that happen? There's so much like carbonation or CO2?
Yeah, CO2. So the pressure, and it was, the pressure relief valve wasn't releasing, so somebody had to go up and hit it, and it flew off.
Oh, my goodness. I'm glad everybody is okay, but it makes a great story.
Great story, yes. Yeah.
And it makes a great name for a double IPA. Are you kidding me? The denogonizer?
And you've been there, so you know what the brewery's like and
yeah,
the atmosphere and the whole bit. So it's it's great.
I love industrial San Leandro.
It's a vacation. Just outside of Oakland, California.
That's right.
By the way, Kelsey Williams is tweeting that the Aroma Coma will be available tomorrow at the brewery.
Great.
Go.
Nice.
Don't do us any good.
Kelsey Williams, everybody. She was our guest here, right, a couple of weeks ago, and now she's actually paying attention and listening live.
Yes.
Probably through KX935.com. If you're just finding us, we are listener-supported radio here in SoCal, able to do some different things with artists and musicians and, you know, the craft brew scene as well. You know, you could donate to the radio station. It's a tax write-off because we are a 501c3, and we feel like community radio is where it's at. And listener-supported radio. So take the time and peruse our website when you can, kx935.com. You could download our apps on the Android and iPhone. Listen anywhere. How do you listen when you're not here in the studio, Howard?
I listen on my iPad.
Yeah, there you go.
Not my Android, my iPad.
Sleek-looking iPad over there.
Yes, it's a great tool. I'm just comfortable with it. I'm sure the Androids, this is nice, maybe even better. Matt Medina, he likes his Androids, so it's a matter of preference.
You're always on that thing. You too, Jim. You guys both forwarded, or almost, you know, you guys, not all the time, but you guys are forwarding the whole group, or I don't know if it's just me, some cool beer articles that you guys find.
Mr. Kennedy forwarded a nice one last week.
Yeah, a couple I found. In actual, one of them I forwarded this week comes courtesy of Kelsey, who I followed, and then she tweeted it, and then I sent it out to you guys.
Oh, it came from Kelsey. So, awesome.
Yeah, one of them did. Yeah, the one this week on beer is like milk. Beer is the new milk.
Beer is the new milk?
Mm.
You didn't get me that one.
Oh, I didn't get you that one? I apologize. Maybe I thought to send a bookie. Basically, it means you better drink your IPAs quickly because, they're not going to last forever.
Yes. The hop aroma and the hop profile diminish as they get older.
So we know that there's other podcasts and other outlets for people to know about craft beers. What are some of those publications or websites that people should be looking at?
The Beer Paper. You like to listen to... The Beer Advocate, you like that magazine?
Yeah, totally. Or just the app, you know?
Yes.
I'll be in a store and I'll see a beer that I've never heard of before, and I'll quickly go on my phone to beeradvocate.com to see what people are saying about it, you know?
I'm always on the internet, and if I see a new beer that I haven't seen, I go on their website and learn about their beers because there's so many popping up. We have more breweries now than before Prohibition.
I imagine so. It's everywhere. And Ed, I know you know it's hard to carve a niche for yourself in the market with all of, you know, it's basically saturated with craft beer, huh?
Yeah, you know, but stuff like this gives the brand exposure, which we need. It's a marketing tool for us to let people know about Drake's, and this has been a great venue for us, so we appreciate it.
Cool. Thanks for seeing the value in our little operation. We appreciate it.
That's why it's so important for these listeners to help support the station.
Yes.
So we could bring programs like this to you.
Absolutely. Thumbs up, everybody around the room with the denogonizer. Have you ever had this one, Dawn and or Jim?
No, I've never had it before. It's really good.
Cool. As far as Imperial IPAs go, right?
I think this is only my second Imperial IPA I've ever had.
So yeah.
It's good.
Dawn's come a long way.
Really?
Yes.
Thank you, Howard.
So
it's all just, because of you. You guys.
Thank you. Thank you.
All you guys.
So just remember, there's four basic ingredients in beer.
Right.
The first one is water. Mm-hmm. 92% by weight is water. The next ingredient is your barley malt.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeast,
that's the body and soul of beer.
Yeah.
The next ingredient after that's the spice of beer, which is your hops.
Oh,
there's bittering hops.
Yeah.
There's aroma hops.
Yep.
And after that, you have your yeast.
Yep.
There's two basic types of yeast, many different styles. The two types are ale and lager yeast. Mm-hmm. Lager yeast falls to the bottom of the vessel, and ale yeast races to the top.
Okay, so what does this one have?
This is an ale yeast.
Oh, okay. Right on. So it rises to the top. But we can't see it.
Well, if you were in the brewer, you could see it.
With like a microscope or?
No, the yeast goes right to the top. Like,
oh, while you're watching.
Not
oh,
too far from Drake's is Anchor's team, and they use copper.
Is that another brewery? I'm
yes.
I'm not
it
familiar. Yeah. Oh, okay, cool.
And Ed knows about them. Really? They've been around for a very long time.
Okay.
Chris Maytag brought them out of bankruptcy and started.
Oh.
Was one of the starting of
That's
the craft
awesome.
Brewer scenes. He was one
really?
Of the ones. Yes.
Okay, now I feel kind of like an idiot because I'm like, oh, yeah, I've never heard of it.
No, no, you just don't know.
Okay.
That's, you're not here.
Anyways, I'm sure it's good. It sounds familiar.
So if you go tour their place, and they, you can see the copper kettles, and the yeast is rising to the top.
Oh, really?
But there are some beers that you could look into the pint glass and see yeast.
Oh, yes.
You know, not necessarily this one. Yeah, we've had a couple before.
You can see it?
Yeah.
Oh, I should have paid attention.
Yes, yeah, so if you have any wheat beer, has suspended yeast in it. And
a couple of beers you had before you turned the bottles to basically settle, then you were just trying to settle the yeast or something?
Resuspend the yeast.
Resuspend the yeast.
Remember when they roll the bottle?
Yeah, when Howard does that, I've seen them.
Yeah.
Roll the bottle. You had Golden Chaos from Bootleggers. That has a lot of yeast
in
it.
Yeah, that was a good one.
So there's a lot of beers that have yeast and settles to the bottom, and people think that's bad, but that's not bad. All you have to do is resuspend the yeast, and it's very good. Yeast is good for you.
Is it really?
Yes, it's very good.
Yeah.
It's good for flavor.
However, whatever it's doing to the beer, it's doing a good job.
So the yeast eats what we call wort. So when you take the starch of the barley malt, that's a starch. But when you boil it, it changes that starch to a sugar. That sugar substance is called wort, and the yeast eats that wort, and that's how we create alcohol and more CO2 and more yeast.
Dropping knowledge, man, left and right, constantly.
Just got to try to remember it all.
It's really hard. I remember some of those points. In fact, when I talk to people outside of the office, you know, when we talk about beer, I bring some of the knowledge that I've learned from Howard to our beer conversations.
Oh, that's great, Mookie. Thank you. I was telling you earlier, there was a young lady that works for Anheuser-Busch InBev, and she's going to be on the show next week, and she's going to be talking about Shock Top, and she's heard you in San Diego in the past, and I guess you do a weekend show there.
Yeah, I've been on the air a little bit down in San Diego.
So, Mookie, you're well-known.
I know, as is Drake's Brewing Company.
Yes.
Who
I just wanted to say a couple of things that
please.
Toughest thing for us is really getting people to try the beer. So we're involved in a lot of different festivals throughout Southern California. In fact, in July, we're going to be participating in a beer fest at the Orange County Fairgrounds. So you can look that up on the website. I think it's July 11th, 12th, and 13th.
At the fair?
At the fair. They're going to have five different sessions. And I guess there's going to be over 60 different breweries represented. So it's an opportunity for you really to get out and sample the products. And that's one of our biggest challenges is really getting that beer in people's hands.
Yeah.
It's like today. You know, ideally you like the product and you're going to go out and buy it. So something to think about.
The beer fest at the, I think they call it the International Beer Fest at the county fairs are always so fun, you know.
Yeah, there's always new breweries coming up and you get to try new things. And Drake's is a great beer and that's a good beer to try with food. So if you're out and you're having a dinner with your other half, just get two wine glasses, pour the beer in two wine glasses, and try different foods. First, you take a sip of the beer, then you take a piece of the food, chew on that, then another sip of the beer, and you could tell if that is a beer, it goes well with that type of food.
Awesome.
Or cheese or desserts. Don't limit it just to food.
Well, I want to go to the fair myself and get something deep fried with bacon and grease or chocolate covered something.
You are at the right place if that is what you want to do.
I know, at the fair, it's the worst,
it
man.
Is.
Yeah.
I think they're sponsored by cardiologists.
Exactly. Hamburgers with donuts as buns, you know?
Oh, yeah. That,
they
yeah.
have that, yeah.
Yeah, two Krispy Kreme donuts cut open.
Yeah, man.
You got Dawn all excited. She's ready to go to the fair.
Yeah, that sounds amazing. Yeah.
I'm really hungry right now.
So some of the highlights for me this month, obviously today what we're doing is drinking the Denogonizer from Drake's. I really loved the 1500. I don't know why I might not normally gravitate towards a pale ale, you know, but I'm so glad you brought that here, Ed. The 1500 is it's a hoppy pale ale, you know, and that was one of my favorites so far. So thanks for everything, you guys.
The American style pale ale is unbelievable. It's got great aromatics to it, a lot of flavor. It's much bolder than its English cousins. So that's one of my favorite pale ales out there.
There you go.
Ed and I talk about that a lot.
Do you? And when you are going on your own beer adventures?
Yes.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, that, yeah, as a category, pale ales do very, very well. They actually outsell in some situations like IPAs, you know, as a category.
Right. I could see that.
And I think it's because the consumer's more familiar with pale ales than they are with some of these other products.
Mm.
I think that's maybe part of the rationale.
Maybe. Who knows? It's not an exact science, really, when you're talking about marketing and demographics and who to serve and all of that stuff.
Yeah, I think the key, too, is you want to drink what you like. Don't drink something because you think...
Absolutely. You should just drink what you like, not just what's trendy or what somebody else thinks or what you think you should drink. Right.
That's right.
Yep. Yeah. Awesome.
Drink what you like.
Same thing with wine. Same thing. Drink what you like when it comes to wine, too.
Mm-hmm. If people see this in the store, a lot of people would probably buy this Imperial IPA solely on the label. It looks great.
It's a funky label. And, you know, again, a lot of people are going to buy it because it's 9.75% alcohol.
Yeah.
It's a selling point for sure.
It's a selling point. Absolutely.
Big denogonizer day here in the studio.
We'll have to listen to Dawn when she gets on the show. She'll be a happy camper after having a few of these.
Yeah. Let's plug your show. Dawn, you're on the air tonight with Johnny Dog, right?
Yeah, Johnny. Johnny Dog. Or sometimes I think he's calling himself Johnny Laguna or just Johnny. I don't know. Anyways, it's Johnny and Donnie B and myself. Happy
Johnny,
hour.
Johnny sounds confused. He doesn't know what to call himself.
I know.
No, well, it used to be Johnny Dog, but when he first started, right? Tyler called him Johnny Dog. I think that's when it started.
Oh, really?
I think.
Oh.
I don't know.
Well, it's about 4:32 in the afternoon here in our Pearl Street studios.
Only.
Johnny Dog's going to be walking through the door
pretty soon to do some show prep here for
his happy hour show. Jim's a founding member of the Clashing Heads, which is Sunday morning at 8.
Yes, it is.
Who's on the show this week?
Hopefully Lefty Al will be back. We had Dr. Ari Grayson last week, but we'll be covering some of the Supreme Court decisions. We'll be covering the poor economy, the GDP fell 3% in the first quarter, and maybe some local Laguna news, too.
Do you ever think that people wonder why our economy is so bad, and this used to be the fifth wealthiest economy in the world if it was just a country in California? Now we're rated at, what, 13 or 14?
Yeah,
is there what's behind that?
I
look at that.
Well, there's lots of different things. I mean, we've got a labor participation rate that's at a record low for 40 years. We've got more people on welfare, or we've got more people on food stamps now than we ever have, and we have more people also on disability than we've ever had. So we're basically not producing a lot of stuff. And the reason why a lot of those people are in those situations is because there's not a lot of jobs right now. And it's really problematic. And I'm not really sure, you know, we're taking on lots of debt, and it's kind of hard to spend our way out of this problem.
But each one of those people have a talent or a gift they could use.
Yeah.
We just have to bring that out and show them what they have.
Yeah. And if you take the real unemployment, which is what you call the U6 number, if you look that up, we're talking closer to about 14% on a real unemployment number. Hmm. Take out the people that have just stopped looking because they've just given up.
Yeah.
They're not collecting benefits and they're not actively looking. It's closer to like about 13, 14, 15%.
It's just not sustainable.
No, it's really not. We just can't keep spending this. So.
That's why we've got to keep on drinking beer.
That's right.
Yeah, it's probably why. I mean, if they have the money to spend, they can spend it on the beer to forget about the problem. And this would be the perfect beer to forget about your problems with.
There we go.
Because it's 9.75%.
There we go. Right. Wasn't there a Benjamin Franklin quote about beer? Something about, you know, there is proof that God loves us. He gave us beer, or something like that.
That could very well be. I mean, the founding fathers were known to, were nearing to tip a bottle or tip
a
pint or two.
George Washington used to smoke hash, I'm pretty sure. You know, mainly for the toothaches.
Yes, he did.
Medicinal.
He did. They also grew hemp, you know, and it's kind of ridiculous that this country isn't allowed to even do that, like Spain and all these countries. It's just a plant. You can't even smoke it. You can't get high from it, and it's ridiculous. It just shows the problems with the country, I think.
Yeah.
Now, who told you that story, Don?
The history books?
History
books, yeah. If you read, it's true that they did use hemp fibers. Just fibers. It's just...
That doesn't surprise me. I'm surprised it did. But I'm not sure you want to emulate Spain. They have 24.5% unemployment.
Well, it's not just Spain. I think even Canada. I mean, pretty much everywhere you can grow it. So it's kind of silly. So it's just the puritanical roots that, you know, the crazy people. Sorry, it's just really crazy if you think about it. It's just like a leaf on a tree.
You please note the opinions expressed were those of Don Amari and not of KX935 or Clashing Heads.
This is
a
segue.
I don't think that hemp is really like. I mean, there's hemp. You can buy hemp purses. I mean, like, so you know is it really that controversial? Yeah. Only if you're really uptight.
Don, they make great ropes, and I think that's what George Washington did.
He was just smoking ropes.
He made ropes with it.
No, it's true. That is true. That is like a deal for me. I've always wondered because I think it just doesn't make logical sense.
He had wooden teeth also, didn't he?
Yes.
Well, probably everybody did back then because, they didn't probably have like prosthetic, implants and all that. Definitely
impressed. Had nothing to do with the hemp.
But yes, my views do not represent those of KX935 and its management or the board of directors.
But we love, wow, that was nicely done. Little disclaimer
there. That's what it says at the beginning of the volunteer show. Look, Greg is here from the SA Raw Connection.
Oh, my goodness. All right. Greg brought a homebrew, I think.
Yeah, come on in.
Greg?
Come on in.
All right, let's do this. Let's get out of this segment, play a couple of songs. We will get Greg in here to try
a homebrew.
It's summertime. We love talking about craft beer. Thanks to everybody at Drake's Brewing Company in San Leandro, California. The Denoganizer is what we are drinking today.
This has been What's on Tap. Listen on Fridays at 4 p.m. for more brews and beer tips.